Morning, church family. Something that has been near and dear to my heart is a book called Fearfully and Wonderfully Made. Has anybody ever read this in our church? Okay, it's just my wife. I'll tell y'all more about it in a minute, but let's open with prayer. Creator God, thank you again for all of your blessings. Thank you for the Sabbath day. Thank you for your creation, for making us in your image. And as we heard earlier, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are so grateful for that. Thank you for giving us worth and building us like you. Help us to be like you. We love you. Amen. So, two of my favorite topics in the Bible are creation and the body of Christ, both of which are fundamental beliefs. I'm not going to go into reading every detail of those. I'll let you go look at those yourselves. But they are very important topics because they describe to us how important we are in God's eyes, and they also describe to us the importance of using our bodies and our minds to benefit others in Christ's body, because that is how the message is going to be spread so we can go home. So, as a physician, I've always been really impressed and amazed by what our bodies can do. I think my favorite class in undergrad was immunology. Looking at all of the different immune-fighting cells and how everything works and just the intricacies of it was always fascinating to me. And realizing as a Christian that everything that we do and everything that we are in our bodies was fashioned by God himself is pretty fantastic. So this book that I want to use as a basis for my sermon series over the next however long. There's actually a second book as well. The author is a gentleman named Dr. Paul Brand, which I don't know if anybody knows about, but he is a world-renowned hand surgeon and leprosy specialist. His parents were missionaries in India as he was growing up as a child, so not much older than my Joshua. And lived out there and watched his parents as career missionaries in India. And he tells stories of his life there and the things that he saw, particularly leprosy, which, believe it or not, is still around in our world today. And I have not looked if he's where he is currently, but as of the second book, was working in a leprosy colony in Louisiana. Which, did y'all know that we have leprosy colonies in the U.S. still, which was pretty wild to me. And he chronicles his life. He chronicles the fascinating things that our body does. And he also relays all that into, one, how much God loves us, and two, our job as Christians to utilize our bodies for him. So as we open Psalms 139 verses 13 and 14 we read this morning, I would like to go back through those one more time. It says, "For you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb." Anybody that's had a baby or looked at online of how a baby's goes through week by week to be born, it's unbelievable, all the things that have to happen. David tells God, "I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well." And I can tell you from being in the hospital, the nursery is almost always the happiest place in the hospital because everybody loves babies. I don't believe there's anybody that doesn't love a baby, because they're cute and they're squishy and they don't know any better. And they're just so much fun. And I believe that's part of what this verse is telling us. Our soul can just feel it. We can feel the wonderfulness of a new creation because you know that's a God thing. St. Augustine tells us that men go abroad to wonder at the height of mountains, at the huge waves of the sea, at the long courses of the rivers, at the vast compass of the ocean, at the circular motion of the stars, and they pass by themselves without wondering. Every one of us is worth more than you'll ever know. We're all full of worth because God made us that way. We can look at our world, and it's pretty fantastic, too. But I believe God's greatest creation is what he did at the end of day six. He made you, and he made me. And he made us. We were the only ones made in his image. So there's something about us that's special. And that's what I hope to accomplish through this sermon series when I speak to you all, is to help you be opened up more to just how amazing we truly are and how amazingly we were created by our God. So the first section that this gentleman writes about is about cells. And he starts out talking about the members of our cells. Anybody ever heard of an amoeba? So what is an amoeba? How many cells is it made out of? One-celled organism. And it can, by itself, function and do everything that is required for life. So a virus cannot do all those things. So we talk about viruses at work all the time, and every parent's like, oh, it's a virus again, and because I can't give them any antibiotics because it doesn't help. But a virus doesn't have all the aspects of life. But an amoeba does, and it can produce energy, create waste, expel the waste. It can move a little bit. And it does all these things with one single cell. But over the lifetime of an amoeba, it's not going to move very far, maybe from here to here, over the course of its life. So there's not a whole lot of stuff that it can do in the bigger picture. But each of us can do a whole lot more because of all of our cells put together to do something awesome. So I'm going to start out showing you. Direction should I point this? I did. To you. There we go. So red blood cells. Adult humans have about 20 to 30 trillion red blood cells. That's a lot of zeros. Anybody know how many zeros that is? It's a lot. Yeah. About 12. So Dr. Brand describes these red blood cells as machine-stamped and impersonal because you got 20 to 30 trillion of these just running around through your body at all times. And what do red blood cells do? They carry oxygen. So as we breathe, every breath, we bring oxygen into our bodies. The red blood cells pick that up in these really, really tiny capillaries, which are right next to the lungs, and oxygen is literally exchanged just back and forth into these red blood cells, and they go around the entire body. It's pumped out through the heart. It provides oxygen and nutrients to every single cell in our body. And as it does this, red blood cells then help replenish that energy requirement that we have every single moment of every single day for our entire lives. We are replenished with red blood cells about every 3 months. So that's why you can give blood about every 3 months. Unless you give double reds, then it's every 6 months. And so our bodies create new ones all the time because we're running out of them a lot. A different type of red blood cell, or a different type of blood cell, is the white blood cells. So white blood cells are a lot different. If you look on a microscope slide, you're going to see a whole lot of little red dots that look like little red lifesavers. And then you're going to see some weird random purplish blob things. And there's different types. But white blood cells, they're very different. They can change shapes to get to different parts of the body. So some blood vessels are extremely tiny. And white blood cells are a lot bigger than red blood cells, so they can't quite get there unless they, like, squeeze themselves into a little bitty tiny blob, a long thing, and they can work their way through. And they each have a different purpose. So different white blood cells, some of them provide antibodies, some of them help us fight worms, some of them help us fight parasites, some of them help us to fight viruses, others bacteria. And so they do all these different things. And next slide. So here's kind of a different lineage that you'll get. Some of them actually create our platelets, which help us to not bleed out. And so each of these different things is very unique. But Dr. Brand compares these white blood cells to an amoeba. And the white blood cell, however, is has a lot less freedom in its life because it has a job to do. An amoeba is just trying to get by and go about its day until it can get from here to here over the course of its life and reproduce, and that's it. A white blood cell has a job to do. Its job is to give of itself to fight off infection. Junior, can you click on that image for me on the bottom left corner? If you can go back. If you can use your mouse and click right there at that. Is there a way to, click right there for me? Is it not working? No. That's really sad. Well, what that image was going to show you, if you ever look it up, white blood cell fighting bacteria on YouTube, it's going to show you a picture of a white blood cell literally going to attack a bacteria. And all of a sudden it goes from this little slow, sluggish thing to like running and going for it. And it goes and attacks this bacteria and swallows it up. And part of what it does is it swallows it to keep it out of the rest of our body to destroy us. And Esther, you know the answer. What happens to that white blood cell after it does that? It dies. So this white blood cell gives of itself and dies for the greater good of the body. And Dr. Brand, in this first chapter of his book, compares this white blood cell to the body of Christ and part of what we do as the body of Christ. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 27, if y'all can get your Bibles out with me, because I want to read through this together. We talk about the body of Christ. That's what we are, right? We're sitting here together. Not all of us are here today. Some of us are at Deckard because we got other jobs to do with our bodies. Yeah? Who's the head of the body? Christ. And we are the hands, the feet, the eyeballs, the ears, the pancreas, the liver, the bowels. I don't know how many of us want to be the bowels, but you know, we all got a job to do. And this is part of what God is telling us through Paul here in Corinthians. So we start in verse 12. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all of the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. So what is Paul telling us here? It doesn't matter your background. Jesus doesn't care where you're from, who you are, what nationality, any of it. He says, once you're his, we're all the same. Starting in verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body, which seem to be weaker, are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable On those we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become much more presentable, whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. So this particular portion of the text helps us be reminded, you know, it don't matter what job you do in this body of the church. Just do a job, whatever job it is that you're asked to do, whether that's to be a prayer warrior because you can't get out and walk the streets, or whether that's to go knock on doors, or whether that's to provide funding for other people to do it. Every job's important. And nobody should feel like they're more important than anybody else. But on the flip side, nobody should feel less important than anybody else, because it's really easy at church to say, I don't have any talents. I don't have anything good that I can do or can give. Jesus is saying very clearly, we all have something to give, no matter what it may be. And we have to remember that, and we have to understand how important our job is, even if we feel like it's small. But God has composed the body, giving more abundant honor to the member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body, and individually members of it. If I stub my toe, which I did last night, and it hurt, did you feel that in the rest of your body when that happens? I know I did. I felt it, and you crumple over, it's horrible. That's all it takes. And how many people want to be a toe? You know, right there at the toenail fungus and just chilling out in the sweaty feet and with the socks on. Nobody wants to be the toe of the church. But it's got a job, and it's really important. It helps provide balance. And we have to be willing to do that, because if the toe hurts, the rest of you hurts. And you can't walk right, and then you start getting hip pain, and then there's a whole lot of other things that can happen. Everything gets out of balance. So there's something to it. There's an importance to it. And it's not an honored member that we look at and say, man, look at that girl's toes. We don't think that. But in God's eyes, that toe's just as important as any other part of the body because of what it does and how it keeps everything upright and in alignment. So every other part needs to understand how important that is. So next we switch up to specialization. So why do we care so much if we see a dog dead on the side of the road? A lot of y'all tear up. Yeah, you get really sad, right? Now, we talked about Camporee. How many mosquitoes are you squishing all over your body and try and get these ants off of you and squishing them? Do we care so much about the ants and the mosquitoes? Why not? Why do we not care as much, aside from the fact that they're hurting you and biting you? But why don't we care? It all comes down to the idea of specialization. So there's something about a higher level organism that makes them more specialized. And that's why they're considered more valuable in our modern society, and in, I'm assuming, back in the day too, because Jesus made it that way. And if you look at how God created us and how he created the world, and he created, you know, the fish and the birds and everything, and then we get to all the creeping things on the land, and finally, what is the very last thing that he creates is us, because he saved the best for last. He saved this very special part of creation because he built us in his image. And that is what helps us become who we are. So what makes us special in a physical sense is God divides up our bodies and our cells into very specialized members. So if we can go to the next slide, I want y'all to look at the organ of sight. So an amoeba we had talked about earlier, what can it do? It can vaguely move towards light. So if you put a microscope slide on it, it'll vaguely move towards the light. And that's pretty much it. That's the end of the specialization of light for an amoeba. A human eye, however, has over 107 million cells just in the eyeballs. each. So this is an electron microscope picture of an eye. An electron microscope, itty bitty bitty tiny. And over 7 million cones that give us the color spectrum, and over 100 million rods that we use in low light. And this is not in the book, but something I have read in my past during my medical training is that there is belief in the scientific community that there are portions of our eye that we do not use. And I believe this wholeheartedly because God himself has told us that eye has not seen and ear has not heard the things that we will see when we get to heaven. So my personal slant on this is that there are some factors of our creation that when God made us that have been lost or diminished greatly due to our sin that we will return to understanding and being able to visually see when we get to heaven, which I think is pretty fantastic. Whether that's infrared or ultraviolet like bees, I don't know, but I think that would be pretty cool to increase our color spectrum. So that's my nerdiness coming out. But so 100 million rods that we use in low light. So did y'all think about that? Only 7 million of the cells that we use in our eyes is for our color. Most of them are just simply used for low light situations, which is pretty fascinating. But back in the day, we didn't have streetlights everywhere with all the light pollution in our world. And so God made it to where when it was dark, we weren't going to be running into all the trees. And that's, I think, a pretty cool thing. So at the same time, you've just got all these cells that just help us pick up color and help us pick up shades of gray, basically, or dark and light. After that, you have to go from there into the brain. So your optic nerves literally travel from your brain itself into the back of your eyeball. So when I'm looking in somebody's eye, or you've got a doctor that looks in your eye and is trying to look at your retina, they're literally looking at your brain in a way. And how that works is pretty cool. So if I got a kid with a concussion or somebody that hits their head, I want to go in and look and see if there's any swelling in the back part of the eye. So when I do that, I can actually get an idea if this person has brain swelling or some type of brain bleed. And so it's a pretty interesting way for us to be able to look. But God, having made that in such a specific way that not only do we have all these lights and colors, then you've got it going all the way into the brain itself. And then you get into a lot other stuff. So, for example, the signals from the eye and how the brain puts all that together into what we, in our minds, see as each person here. So for specialization to work, like these eye cells, individual cells have to share in the community. Each individual cell by itself has to lose pretty much all of its function except for one or two things. Each of these cells, if you put them out there like an amoeba, they would die almost immediately because they don't have the ability to do all of the factors to continue life by itself. It requires basically other people or other cells to provide them just about everything that they need. And their job is to do one single thing. But on the bright side, if everybody's doing this like they're supposed to, much like the body of Christ, we have each our own set of talents, like these eye cells. But it requires everybody else to provide the other things that they don't have to help us function as a whole. If all I had was eye cells, like Paul was saying earlier, I'm pretty useless. Because all I can do is just look at you, and that's it. Can't move, I can't talk. Other thoughts in regard to the specialization I think is pretty interesting is that we have nerves for pain. I can feel when I hurt my toe. I have nerves for heat. I have nerves for cold. I have nerves for sensing touch. But I don't have a single nerve in my body, and none of you do either, that gives us a sensation of pleasure. Did y'all know that? There are no nerves that are pleasure nerves. Pleasure is simply a byproduct of a cooperation of many different types of cells. The brain, touch, sound, smell, vision, all of those things put together provide pleasure. So if I'm listening to music, sound frequencies go into my ears, right? Some sounds literally flutter the eardrum. So the eardrum's this little flap that looks like saran wrap, right? Some frequencies that we hear going into our ear when y'all are playing a beautiful piano, it's a tenth, what would they say, a tenth of the diameter of a hydrogen atom. So hydrogen atom is the smallest atom possible that we have. A tenth of the diameter of a hydrogen atom. I don't know how they measure this, but that's how much that eardrum moves for a frequency. And yet, that causes a vibration that's transmitted to my inner ear bones, which are coincidentally the smallest three bones in your entire body, the hammer, the anvil, and the stirrup. And that's another really cool thing to YouTube, if you can watch those move, and they just kind of bang off of each other just enough to where it sends a sensation to the nerve that's connected there up into your brain, and your body turns it into whatever sound that we're hearing here. And that's how we sense it and see it in our mind's eye or in our brain. But just listening to it by itself isn't going to give me a sensation of pleasure. Just all that already. It takes other things too. What am I doing that day? How many other times have I heard that music? Who did I hear it with? What else is going on? All of those things put together tell me if I perceive it as pleasurable or as annoying. So I can listen. That's why some people like a certain type of music, some people like another. There's all these other factors that go into it other than that sounds really pretty. Now imagine all of these specialized cells of the body being created out of just an egg and a sperm. Those aren't even full cells. Those are haploid cells. You know, normally we have 46 chromosomes. Eggs and sperms each have 23 each. That's it. Put that together, and all of a sudden, over a 9-month journey, you go from these two little guys, and you end up with that cute little baby right there, James. And then he gets really fat in 2 months. And so, but that's literally where we start. As we talked about earlier from David. One sperm, one egg, comes together. And you go from that to a whole lot more real fast. And this is how God made the church. There's millions of us around the world. What are we at, 19 million now, David, roughly? Is that right? For our Seventh-day Adventist Church? There's around 19 million of us around the world. But we're all one body. We're all Christ's body together. And so I'm always fascinated by this, that we go from an egg and a sperm to all of a sudden 100 trillion cells in 9 months. 100 trillion. And all it takes is one mistake for you to have a miscarriage. All it takes is one mistake for you to get cancer. This is how fascinating our bodies are. At the same time, this is how fascinating God makes us as individuals physically, but this is also how fantastic He makes us as a church as a whole. We are unique. We're each members of one body, but yet we are specialized, with each having talents, each having deficiencies. And we each need each other as much as we don't want to admit it sometimes. Rather than us looking down at each other's differences or our perceived deficits, what we need to be doing as individuals is looking at each other, at each of our uniqueness, and being thankful for that. Being thankful for the fact that we're all different, that we each have talents, and come together to the point of being able to further God's message. And that's the only way to do it. If we all are a cookie cutter church and we all look the same, act the same, talk the same, we're not going to get anything done because we're all a bunch of eyeballs or all a bunch of toes, and it's just not going to do anything. We have to be willing and to embrace our diversity, which is what I will start talking about next time I'm up here, is our diversity. But I want to just remind you all again of how God created us, how important that was, how special that was, and how real that was. We remember the Sabbath day because He created us in 6 days and rested on the seventh. That's why we do this. It's not because we're just following some guideline or rule and saying, well, you got to do this. We're doing it as a remembrance of what God had did when He said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and formed Adam from the dust of the ground. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's how we got here. There wasn't a big bang. There wasn't all this other stuff that happened, monkey, fish, frogs, and all those things. It was God saying, let this happen. I'm going to do it. And He did it. And from there, He creates each of us. He gives us an example with His life and asks us, now that I'm not here, I'm in heaven, I want you to further the work that I did. Be my hands, be my feet, be my organs, be all of these things. Use your talents. Be willing to do that. Accept each other's differences. Lift each other up and help bring more people so that we can go home. Let's bow our heads. Creator God, thank you again for creating us. Thank you for us, for making us your body here on earth. Help us to know that you are the head and that you guide us in all things. Help us to look at you and not at ourselves. Because each of us by ourselves are not worth very much, as we've seen today. We each have talents. We each have limitations. But as a unit, as a whole, as members of your body, we can do anything because of you. Please send your Holy Spirit to sink these words into our brains, into our hearts. Help us to lift each other up always. We love you. Amen.